Well, I am your unfortunate host for the evening, Isabella L. Price. I'm bringing you the second episode of Nocturnal Emissions. Another lovely episode this night. How are you guys all doing out there? You guys doing good? I'm perfectly miserable. I mean, even though the weather is beautiful outside, I mean, it's gorgeous. It's dark, it's wet, it's gloomy, it's cold, it's windy, everything is dying or it is already deceased. It's beautiful. I love it. Just saying, when this weather happens, everybody's mood changes. Everyone's mood alters and everyone becomes, at least for Seattle, everyone becomes an introvert and they become the weirdest version of an introvert. Everybody becomes passive aggressive. Everybody looks like they walk and they look right through you. They don't even say, excuse me. They just bump right into you and they just keep walking down the street. You know, I understand it's cold and it's dark and you've got sads. It's only November, people. We've still got December, January, February, March, April. It really doesn't start, sun doesn't start shining until June. So just take your vitamin D and rub your crystals and calm down, all right? Because we're in it for the long haul. Excuse me for a second while I adjust my microphone. Oh, this big object's just prodding right in my face. All right, so I have got a great show lined up for you guys tonight, all right? I've got some new music for you. I've got a little bit of poetry from the master of horror, H.P. Lovecraft. Did you know that he did poetry? I'm more familiar with his work when he's writing novels, but not necessarily with his poetry. But regardless, I've got some poetry lined up for you, some seasonally appropriate poetry. I got some weird news, and then I've also got some horror news as well. You know, I don't really want to leave out, all the spooky stuff that's happening in the world of horror movies. Are you guys big fans of horror movies? I know that you are. I mean, you wouldn't be listening to this if you weren't at least moderately interested in horror. So, bear with me. I was never allowed to watch horror movies when I was a kid. My parents were very much against me watching anything that had like curse words or blood or nudity or anything like that. Where all the cool kids, they were watching stuff, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream and stuff like that. I was not allowed to watch any of that stuff. But I was allowed to watch Hitchcock. So I would watch a lot of Hitchcock, and I would watch a lot of the Master of the Macabre, a.k.a. Vincent Price, a.k.a. Zanny. And I would absorb that sense of horror, not necessarily the very overt sense of horror, but the sense of dread, the sense of that something isn't right. It was more atmospheric than it was obvious, you know. I still have an appreciation for that more so than I have an appreciation for gory stuff. And I feel like I'm not cool when I talk to people about horror because they go on and on about these really bloody, gruesome things, and I'm just kind of like, cool. Have you guys ever seen The Uninvited? There's no gore. There's no horror. I mean, it's just ghosts and the creepy children, but it's cool. And people are like, what? Get out of here. Anyway, that's kind of my background with horror movies, but I'm still going to try to keep you guys updated with like the latest horror movie news and things like that. So I've got some really good upcoming horror movie news for you, including some real sexy news. All right, you guys, first up, I got some weird news for you. Okay, are you ready for this? I should have some like background music for like an intro song, you know, like, here comes some weird news. It's gonna be weird for your face. Listen up, cause it's weird news. Yeah, that's great. Don't steal that. And if you steal it, I'm gonna sue you, okay? I'm gonna sue you. All right, you guys. First up, So, early in October, several former high-level members of the government got together to form an organization. Well, in October, they had a press conference for their organization, and the organization is called To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science, which is kind of weird. To the Stars, it should be To the Stars, comma, Academy of Arts and Science. Listen, I studied English, but I was never good at grammar, okay? And the abbreviation for this is TTSAAS, and it looks like, I can say this on the radio, it looks like TNA. Like, it looks, like, if you look at it real quickly, it looks like somebody misspelled, like, TNA. Okay, if you know what TNA stands for. Anyway, to further research and develop unexplained phenomena related to UAP. Now, this is a thing that I only heard recently. They're not calling them UFOs anymore, everybody. Okay, everybody stop calling them UFOs. That is wrong. What they're calling them now is UAPs, which is unidentified aerial phenomena, which I like. So UFOs was unidentified flying objects, right? But that is a presumption that they're flying, that they're using our idea of flight, which subscribes to our idea of physics, which is a huge assumption, right? The only thing that we know about the lights in the sky, the orbs, the rods, the crafts, the triangles, my goodness, the triangles, okay? The Black Knight satellite, the only thing that we know about them is we don't know about them. They are unidentified, they are in the air, and it's a phenomenon, which I think is why they've changed it to UAP. That's a little bit more accurate. Okay, but this is the funnest part of this whole entire story for me. This is the part that I love. The head of the organization is Tom DeLonge. Does that name ring a bell to any of you millennials? Does that name ring a bell? It should. Tom DeLonge is the name of the former band member of Blink 182. I kid you not. I kid you not that after Blink 182 disbanded, Tom DeLonge went into alien stuff. Like, he delved deep into, like, alien conspiracy, and he is, like, he is involved in, like, the whole alien, like, government secret conspiracy subculture, which is bananas to me. Like, this whole thing is, like, it's so wild to me. Because I was never a Tom DeLonge fan a day in my life, okay? Never. I was too cool for Blink 182. At that time, I was probably listening to, like, Susie Sue and, like, the Smiths and shaving my eyebrows off and, like, dyeing my hair black or dyeing my hair in, like, one of those, like, you know, like, one of those, like, emo cuts where, like, your bangs are purple, but then the back of your hair is black. Whatever. Don't judge me, okay? So, Tom DeLonge is the current leader of this group. This, a group of government agents, of former government official high-level clearance members. The leader of that group is the former What's My Age Again band member of Blink 182. I love it, okay? All right. For years now, DeLonge has been deep in the conspiracy subculture surrounding aliens. He's a very controversial figure in the community, actually. There are many people who do not like Tom DeLonge in the community. I know this not because of any sort of deep research, but because of all the YouTube pages that I follow. Which is the weakest way of finding out information that you could possibly get. But I'm saying to you, I follow a bunch of these UFO YouTube pages, and Tom DeLonge's presence in the UFO community is, like, not wanted. I'm sorry, UAP community. I'm sorry, I used the wrong word. And it's many people think that he's, like, a plant, which is really interesting. Like, many people think that the government has paid Tom DeLonge, or that he's, like, the original Tom DeLonge is dead, and this is like a robot or a clone that has been created by the government and is now planted inside the UAP community so that he can try to disperse false information. This is real, actual, like, this is the tea of the alien conspiracy that I have heard on the streets of the interwebs. Okay, you guys, this is a hot scoop, all right? This is a hot take for all of you guys out there. I'm telling you in no uncertain terms, this stuff is wild. If you've ever delved deep into any of this stuff, it's wild. First of all, why Tom DeLonge anyway? Members of this organization are, quote, operating under the shadows of top secrecy for decades and say that, quote, there is sufficient credible evidence of UAP that proves exotic technologies exist that could revolutionize the human experience, unquote. The members of this group, besides the What's My Age Again frontman, is 25-year veteran of the CIA's directorate? That's a word. Of operations, a Lockheed Martin program director for advanced systems at a company called Skunk Works, very creative, a former deputy assistant secretary of defense for the former deputy assistant secretary of the Defense for Intelligence. That's pretty legit. I mean, I don't know any of these things. Yeah, I'm not involved in the CIA, but I believe it. So October 4th, members held a four-hour-long meeting where they laid out their plans, and one of the people present was this person, I think his name is Luis Elizondo, who ran an important program at the DOD, the Department of Defense. He's a senior career intelligence officer whose experience includes working with the U.S. Army, the Department of Defense, the National Counterintelligence Executive, and the Director of National Intelligence. All right, listen, I found this whole thing on the Huffington Post, okay? So I'm relying on the Huffington Post in order to check all of these things. And I feel like it's a reputable institution, okay? This is not something that I just read on the back pages of the internet. This is not a Reddit article that I just printed out, okay? Even though I would print out a Reddit article, honestly. I mean, for the lols. I'm not 100%. I have not checked out all of this stuff, okay? So please, U.S. government, do not take me out. And listen, I'm just one person. I'm doing my best. I'm trying to tell these people to rub their crystals. I want to be internet famous. Like, leave me alone. I don't know these things for facts, okay? So take everything that I say with a grain of salt, okay? This person, Luis Elizondo, I also don't know if I'm saying that right, he served as the director for the National Program Special Management Staff, that's a very long title, in the Office of the Secretary of Defense, right? He is also the former director of programs to investigate unidentified aerial threats for the Office of the Secretary of Defense. So he has credentials, is what I'm trying to say, okay? Now, all of this stuff. Now, see, the idea of there being a department that is investigating unidentified aerial threats makes sense to me, right? It makes sense that there would be a department in the U.S. government that would be investigating to make sure that we are... there's not just stuff flying all over our skies, you know. But at the same time, that would probably also lead to a lot of alien sightings, a lot of unidentified, unexplained things, right? I mean, if your job is just to make sure that you monitor the skies, you're seeing the same stuff too. All right, so. When asked, Elizondo said that these beings were, by members of the people who came to the meeting, if he thought that these beings were threatening or dangerous to us Earthlings, he said, quote, they did not exhibit overt hostility, but something unexplained is always assumed to be a potential threat until we are certain it isn't. On the bright side, I believe we are closer than ever before in our understanding of how it operates. Interesting, okay, unquote. So I don't know about you guys. I believe in aliens 100%. I think that it would be really silly to think that human beings are the only beings in the entire universe. And I also think that it's really silly to believe that we're like the best there is, you know, that we are the most highly evolved people, that are out there, that are capable of doing stuff. I don't believe that. And the reason why I don't believe that is because I, sometimes am so lazy that if I drop something on the floor, I pick it up with my feet like a monkey. Okay, that cannot be the height of evolution, okay? Like, listen, right? Sometimes I don't eat. Sometimes I call for delivery because all the food I have in my refrigerator that's ready to eat, that's ready to be, I mean, really, I have food that you could just pop in the microwave for 5 minutes. Don't want to do it. Don't want to do it. Too lazy. That can't be all there is. If there is, if we're all that there is in the universe, that actually makes me very sad. It makes me feel very sad, and it makes me feel like we have work to do, because we are messing up. Okay, so here's my theory, if I can be so bold, if I can be so honest with you, which I feel like I already have. I feel like we're very, very close, you and I. I think that the beings that we are seeing are from other dimensions, and they're just kind of trying to figure out all of this stuff too. I think that these creatures, these beings, are interdimensional beings, and I think that they're just trying to understand what it is that's happening. I don't think that they're like, aliens are always presented in like one or two ways. One is like these godlike creatures that come down and they're like, we know all the knowledge in the universe and we're going to come with you puny humans and we're going to take some of you chosen ones up into the heavens like gods. And then there are these other aliens that are like hyper macho, aggressive, psychopaths that just want to blow everything up, right? And it just doesn't feel, I don't think that that's the way that it is. I think that it's like Occam's razor. I think that nobody knows. I don't think they know. I think that's why they keep crashing their planes, because they're just like, I was going out for a flight and, then suddenly somebody came and shot me down and I'm in this weird place and I don't understand what these humans are doing. And the last time I was here on Earth, they were all wearing robes and now they're all wearing pants and I don't understand. Like, I think that aliens are trying to figure it out. They're trying to figure out space travel. They're trying to figure out other beings in the universe. I think that they're also confused. Okay, which is kind of sad. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, a little bit. All right, so that's the weird news that I have for you guys. And I'm going to play some music real quick. And then we're going to move on to some more spooky things in just a second. Hold on, darlings. I'll be right back. Guys. All right, so we're back, and you guys, I'm so hungry. Oh my God. Listen, I'm only made of human flesh, okay? And the flesh is soft, and the flesh has needs. And one of those needs is eating food, unfortunately. This human shell, it's so worthless. Ugh, God. Ugh. Your host is already getting cranky. My goodness. All right, so I've got a little bit of a surprise for you guys. Got some poetry. Do you guys like poetry? Is that corny? I feel like some people think that poetry is like a very sort of like cliche sort of a thing. When you say, oh, this person writes poetry, you're like, oh, okay, all right. They're not going to make me listen to it, are they? I mean, you're talking to a person. I guess you're not talking to me. You're listening to a person who has so many notebooks full of sad high school poetry and sad college poetry and kind of sad adult poetry. Anyway, I've got some poetry from a master who I'll never be able to live up to. Problematic? Absolutely. Yes. But at the same time, he was good at what he did. And, you know, when I see him in hell, I'll kick his... Oh, this is the radio. I keep forgetting that I can't curse. Okay. So the leaves are changing. It's getting dark and a chill in the air. Okay. It's time. Time for the most dreaded, the most reviled, the most feared day of the entire year. That's right. Christmas. Oh, God. It's awful. Okay. It's the time when every commercial is the sappy, sugary experience of families getting together, and they're all wearing matching sweaters, and oh, the dog's wearing a scarf, and it's just, it's awful, and I absolutely hate it. You know, it's the time when everybody's supposed to be getting together, and it's like peak depression season, peak suicide time. It's the worst time of year for me. I'm always alone, or if I'm not alone, I'm with my family, and I love my family. I do. I love them very much. I have to say that. I think some of my family members might be listening. So I love them very much, okay? It's just that I am the family weirdo, okay? And if you are your family weirdo, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. What you do is you go downstairs, your family asks you weird questions about, like, you know, you still dress that way, huh? You still look like that? You still wearing all black? You still like those horror movies? Yeah, you still like that? And you go, all right, well, it's been great. Love you guys. It's been great to see you. And you take your plate of food back upstairs into your room where you can watch Nightmare Before Christmas for the 900th time, okay? So Christmas, it's been happening since July, which is awful. And now the presents, the dark jolly presence of Christmas is upon us, all right? And to get you in the mood, to return you to your true form, which is the neighborhood Grinch, as I am, here's a poem by the master of being in a permanently bad mood. Here is H.P. Lovecraft's. This is called Yule Horror. There is snow on the ground, and the valleys are cold, and a midnight profound blackly squats over the world. But a light on the hilltops have seen hints of feastings unhallowed and old. There is death in the clouds, there is fear in the night, for the dead in their shrouds hail the sin's turning flight. And the chant wild in the woods as they dance round a Yule altar fungus and white. To no gale of earth's kind sways the forest of oak, where the sick boughs entwined by mad mistletoes choke. For those powers, all their powers of the dark, from the graves of the lost druid. No, wasn't that nice? That was Yule Horror by H.P. Lovecraft. All right, I hope that you guys enjoyed that little bit of culture. All right, so I told you guys that I was going to have some movie news for you, and I do. This is a hot scoop. This is another one I feel like we should have like a whole thing for, like, all right, hot scoop, movie news for your face, all right, hot scoop. That was terrible, all right, bear with me. This is episode 2, all right, you guys, I'm doing my best. So, if you grew up in the 90s, there was this movie called The Crow, all right, it came out in 1994, and you're probably familiar with it. Also, you're probably familiar with it because it stars some Seattle famous people. It was a launching film for the career of Brandon Lee, who was Bruce Lee's son, until his accidental death on the set of the film in a freak accident. He was actually shot to death during a scene where a live round killed him in that was supposed to be not in the gun. The gun was supposed to have blanks that had a live round in it, and he was unfortunately murdered, unfortunately killed, I should say. But this movie is one of the... I can't explain how much I love this movie. I love The Crow so much. First of all, it is perfect 90s aesthetic. There was like a grunge aesthetic that were in so many movies in the 90s. So many movies had this sort of like urban, slick, wet, black vinyl, leather, smoky... That to me is the ultimate. It's like grunge music was big, industrial music was big. There was just a lot of this kind of like hopelessness after the 80s about, you know, crime, and it was the 90s was a wild time. Wild time. I have total nostalgia for it. But this movie is one of the greatest movies, and it was so. It really shaped a lot of people's aesthetics. Like, it really shaped the sort of gothic look at the time. It really captured that. And I don't think that you could have a movie like that nowadays. One is because the goth scene, quote unquote, in America right now is... It's not dead. Goth will never die. There will always be sad people wanting to hug tombstones and listen to Bauhaus. Like, that will always be a thing. But the goth scene nowadays isn't so much like people in all black hanging out in malls and scaring old ladies. Because a lot of the old ladies nowadays were formerly goths. Now, it's so difficult because being a goth used to be really rebellious. It used to be something that people were afraid of. And then people discover that goths were really not that scary. You know, that goths are a lot of really nice but highly sensitive people. The Crow came at a time... When goth subculture was still really scary to a lot of moms and dads, you know, so it was perfect. It was right at the zeitgeist of the 90s goth scene. So that and Brandon Lee's performance is amazing. I don't know if this was his first film, but it was definitely one of his earliest films. He is so handsome. Oh god, he's so good looking. He's so talented. He gives his whole body over to this performance. And he was really a martial arts master. So he and his father, I believe, are both buried here in Seattle. And after that movie came out, which was a huge cultural hit as a total classic film, it spawned a bunch of sequels that are highly suspect. If you've seen any of the sequels, they're first of all starring a lot of white men that do not fit that role whatsoever. There's a lot of really questionable things that are done, but I digress. So James O'Barr, who is the original creator of the character, said that an official reboot is planned. An official reboot of The Crow is planned, and it's slated to start in 2018, and also that the director of the first film will be heavily involved in the production, which is great. That is great news to hear that the original creator and the original director are going to come back, that they're not bringing like some like young dudes who like just graduated from UCLA last year and like their dads own a car dealership, and so that's why they got this job. They did like a Nike commercial in LA. Not saying that anyway. So So that's exciting, even though the director, I cannot remember his name and I didn't write it down. His last film was Gods of Egypt, and my God, that movie was so bad that it offended me. Like, I wanted an apology from everyone involved in this production. Like, I felt personally offended. Like, they had come into my home and, like, knocked over all of my belongings and, like, burned my field. It felt so invasive. That's great news. I'm willing to give him a chance because The Crow was excellent. His early 90s, his 90s films were great. The movies he's doing now, very strange. So, but, the best news is who they have tapped to play The Crow. Oh my God. We don't deserve these blessings. We don't deserve these blessings. Jason, lay my body down and tell me I'm a bad girl, Momoa. Oh, God. Yes. He is. Oh, my God. His body and his face and his voice and his hair. Oh, God. It just does things to me. Horrible things. Oh. Yes. That Jason Momoa, that freakishly sexual Dothraki, is rumored to be the new Crow. Sign me up. Take my money. I'm going to sit wherever it's playing. I know they're doing now those reservation seats now because every movie theater is desperately trying to upgrade itself. Reserve me a seat, okay? Reserve me a seat in the back where I can lay down some towels, okay? Because I'm there. I don't care. I don't care what this movie... I don't care. It could be a movie of Jason Momoa dressed up like the Crow, and he's just trying to get a cat out of a tree for 90 minutes, and I'm there! Oh, I'm there. Okay. Speaking of reboots, it kind of feels a little bit to me like Stephen King has died, okay? All right, I'm going to explain more what I'm talking about. There are so many reboots and remakes of Stephen King properties right now. I'm like, what happened to him? Is he fine? Is he okay? Is he safe? Has someone checked his Twitter recently? What's going on? Is he poor? Is he broke? Does he have a crack habit that he needs to pay for? Is he going through a divorce? What's happening to him? Because, I mean, we're talking about The Dark Tower, It. We're talking about, oh man, Castle Rock, that looks really good. This new TV show called Castle Rock. And now the latest movie is Pet Sematary. All right? I don't know what's going on. He doesn't need more money. He has enough money. I know he does. Okay? So I saw this movie like a million years ago when I was a kid. And all I remember is, I think I remember a scene where somebody's like Achilles tendon gets cut. Right? Didn't that happen? And there's this creepy blonde kid, and for some reason my mind directly connects that movie with Child's Play, I guess because like creepy white kids to me kind of all blend together. I don't remember much about this movie, so I should really go back and watch it. It looks like the directors of Starry Eyes, the horror film that came out, I think it came out last year or the year before, Kevin Kolsch and Dennis Widmeyer will be taking over the franchise. Now, I haven't seen Starry Eyes, but I hear it's pretty good. So I guess that it's in good hands. I'm not really 100% sure about that. I just hope, one, that Stephen King's okay. I'm joking, but I'm also not joking at the same time. I'm like, oh, I hope he's fine. No, really, is he fine? Is he okay? Because my friends and I were just having this conversation about what we're going to do, oh my God, not Stephen King. Oh, what's his name? Stan Lee. When Stan Lee passes, right? Stan Lee is a very, very, very old man, and he's going to pass eventually one day, and it's going to be a very sad day. But at the same time, like, we know it's happening. He's very old. He's very old. So, you know, the more I get older, the more that I'm just kind of like, listen, we love these celebrities. They are great celebrities, but they're humans, and humans die, unfortunately. Humans pass on, and we've got to realize that. Now, Stephen King is still alive, okay? Stephen King is still alive. Everybody calm down. I'm not saying that Stephen King is dead. I'm just saying that it feels like he recently passed because so many of his properties are being rebooted. I hope Pet Sematary is good. They already messed up a bunch of stuff. They messed up the Dark Tower. They messed up Carrie. I really hope that they do good with this. It was incredible. It was a great remake. It, I dare say, was better than the original. Don't tell anybody I said that, okay? Now, Tim Curry is still incredible as Pennywise and is still the greatest Pennywise to me. But he was making do with the technology that he had and the material that he had to work with. He is an incredible actor. I'm taking nothing away from his performance whatsoever. But I am saying that as a film, the second version, to me, is much better. It's more concise with its writing. It's the characters are much more fleshed out, even though tokenism is still really heavy in that film. There was one black kid who was in the background, which is my same problem with Stranger Things. It just kind of summarizes more of childhood fears than the first one did. The first one's real weird. The only thing that I like about the first one is, one, how many actors that I grew up with are in that movie. There's so many. Like, the dad from Sister Sister is in it. The guy from Night Court is in it. There's so many characters that I'm just like, oh, I remember you. And they're in it. And then how many of the kids that were in the first part, because it's like the Bible. It's a very long book. It's like 5,000 pages or something like that. But there's a part one where they're kids, and there's a part two where they're adults. And everybody's freaking out about the casting. There's so many fan castings of who's going to play them when they're adults, which I think is, I love this game. I love this game so much of like, who's going to be, I love fan casting, like who's going to be who in the second version. And there's so many different kinds of people. I mean, there's so many people are saying like, oh, it should be Jessica Chastain. That's like the number one. And I think the only reason why people are choosing Jessica Chastain is because of the fact that she's a redhead and she's in the right age range. But there's so many different fan castings. Maybe what I'll do for the next time is I'll come up with my own fan casting and then kind of go through, I don't know, it's easier to do fan casting when you can actually see who I'm talking about. So that's kind of the news that I have for this week, and that's also kind of the show as well. Yeah, guys, that was it. This has been incredible. I really hope that this was being broadcast. Listen, I'm still so new to this. Every single time that like today I came in like a boss, right? Like I put in my code and like turned off the alarm and I grabbed the key. I was doing the damn stop cursing. Stop it. You said you were going to stop cursing and you just keep cursing, okay? You're on the radio. Take yourself seriously, okay? I was doing the darn thing, okay? And came in, did my show, hitting my cues a little bit better, hitting the music a little bit better, doing my fade ins and out a little bit better than I was last time, and sliding through this script like nobody's business. Yeah, that's right, I'm reading a script. You think I memorized all this stuff? Are you crazy? Mama's got other things on her mind. All right? And that was kind of it. So next week, I don't want to say next week. It's going to be 2 weeks from now, from today, since we're not, I don't do the show every single week. the next show, which is going to be Tuesday, November. Do you remember the time when we were in love? Do you remember the time when we first met, girl? Remember the 28th. Oh, that was a stall for time that I was trying to do. Tuesday, November 28th, that will be the next episode. And I'm hoping that I'm going to have a very special guest here with me in the studio. And we can talk about horror movies and whatnot. If I can't get my very special guest, then you'll just be stuck with me, which is a pleasure. It's a delight. Say thank you, okay? It's my time. I'm not getting paid for this. If you want to pay me, my goodness. let me tell you how. All you have to do is email me at nocturnalemissionsshow@gmail.com. Also, if you want to hit me up on the twits, the twitas, that is at NOCEMISS at knock and miss. All right. And if you're also looking for me on Facebook, we are also there, the Nocturnal Emission Show. Go on, hit like, hit subscribe, follow me on Twitter, tell me I'm doing great, tell me I'm a great person. I really desperately need the positive influence right now. I am so sad. Oh my God, please give me some nice feedback, and I hope that you guys come back again. All right, you guys, sleep tight, and don't let the bedbugs bite. Bye.